Like the parents of many young children, I am subjected daily to a nearly endless stream of falsehoods. Yes, I brushed my teeth. I already washed my hands. No, I don't know who broke that picture frame. Developmental experts, though, tell us not to worry. It's not so much that toddlers are trying to lie, but more that they lack the developmental mental sophistication to successfully differentiate reality from what they really wish were true. Telling the truth, in other words, is something that they grow into. The author of Ephesians would not be shocked by this idea, although developmental psychology is some millennia away. Telling the truth, as well as all the actions and attributes described in our portion appointed for today, is described in Ephesians as a mark of maturity, evidence of full conversion to the Christian life. This passage that we just read seems just like a collection of aphorisms, good, solid advice that most of us should strive for, but it's really part of a much longer section of the letter in which the author, who's probably not Paul, develops a vision of what it looks like to be fully mature in faith, or to be, quote, measured by the standard of the fullness of Christ, as Ephesians 4:16 puts it. This is described time and again as God's goal for us, that we should no longer be spiritual toddlers, telling ourselves and our caregivers that we really did brush our teeth, and instead speaking the truth in love, and growing together with our fellow Christians into the full stature, the full body of Christ. In our day of alternative facts, and endless spin, truth can be a tricky word to tackle. We want to admit to the diversity of opinions and viewpoints that cause people to come to different conclusions, more about that later, but things often get so murky that we are tempted to do as Pilate did 2,000 years ago, throwing up our hands and saying, "What even is truth?" Just go along with whatever the crowd seems to want at the moment. Hopefully, though, we can do better. It is indeed part of our Christian vocation to ask the question faithfully, "What even is truth? How do we live into it?" Anne Garrido is a Catholic laywoman and author. You might remember her name from our formation series on how to act faithfully and civilly online, but she's actually a pretty prolific author. And I just read a book of hers called Let's Talk About Truth. In it, Garrido identifies four dimensions of truth that we should uphold, that we should be growing into as Christians. First, there is truth as alignment between our perception and the world as it is. We may argue up and down about the philosophical tenets of perception, but some things are objectively true or not. There's either a pew behind you or not, and at the end of the Nicene Creed, if you are wrong about that fact, you may be in serious trouble when you find yourself on the floor. Garrido also writes that thinking of truth as objective has a second meaning, in that it is something we should strive after. It's an objective, a goal. We cannot simply be content with the facts that we have now, but should constantly be seeking out new information. Inquiry is a part of living into our Christian vocation of living in truth, which means that science and faith are by no means antithetical. After all, if you remain closed off to new information, you might be the one in the gospel who calls the newly related Messiah just Joseph and Mary's kid, because that's what you've known all along. Garrido's second dimension of truth deals with how we form opinions from the concrete facts that we know. So when we say things like, "It's a fact that Lorraine makes the best quiche around," we owe it to ourselves and to others to interrogate ourselves as to how we have arrived at that opinion. I'm using a kind of silly example, but there's ways that this gets rather high stakes. In large part, this is a dimension of truth that means telling the truth to ourselves. It concerns being able to sustain the kind of self-reflection that enables us to identify what objective facts, life circumstances, experiences, or other factors are leading us up what's called the ladder of inference. Identifying these helps us realize where our own biases may be coming into play, and hopefully it assists us in living with one another. When we can compare our motivations and our circumstances, sometimes we find common ground. Although sometimes, again, that common ground leads us to different conclusions. Garrido's third aspect of truth is probably what you think of in telling the truth, how I started this sermon, which means speaking only that which we know or believe to be true. Not misrepresenting facts, not cherry-picking them either, and not speaking poorly about our own circumstances. It also means speaking up when we see something wrong. Although Ephesians does remind us that you don't have to say everything that comes into your brain. Some thoughts are inside thoughts that can stay inside your skull. Being truthful in communication tells others that we are trustworthy. It's the foundation of equal relationships. And this has huge consequences if you spin it out. Garrido points out, how will others know us as Christians to be truthful when we speak about something big, like, say, our faith in God, our experiences with Jesus? How will they know that they can believe us if we cannot be truthful about smaller things, like who really did break that picture frame after all? Finally, Garrido highlights a nearly forgotten aspect of truth. It's kind of an old usage of the term. And this is actually really what's at the bedrock of this Ephesians passage. Garrido reminds us that we should be true or faithful to each other. Being true to our commitments and our relationships means staying true to our spouses, our friends, and to our God. Sometimes it means staying in relationship, long past where the world would tell you to cut and run. It means remembering, as Ephesians says, that we are all members of one body who need each other to function and to thrive. This is the dimension of truth which most clearly illustrates how important a component of our discipleship truth is. Ephesians talks about us as existing in this dense web of relationships. First, of course, we're in relationship with ourselves, where truth-telling and truth-seeking is required in order to gain control over our emotions and more base desires, to not let our anger or our sadness or our fear tempt us into sin. Secondly, we are, of course, in relationship with each other, where we must both tell the truth and live truth in order to live together in peace. Not the harmony born out of ignoring differences and glossing over conflict, but the true peace of knowing and being known, of being dependable and trustworthy, speaking the truth in love when it is needed to build up the body of Christ. And finally, the author of Ephesians knows us to be in community with God. Our lives, it says, are lived in imitation of Christ, who is truth himself. Jesus knew the truth. He knew himself truly, was true to his disciples and community. And he told the truth even when he knew it would be offensive, even when he knew it would put him at risk. Living the truth, seeking the truth, telling the truth, being true to ourselves and to others is a deed, a vital part of what it means to be mature in Christ. And like all of our virtues, it's something that we have to live into every day. It's a natural extension of our conversion, our rebirth that begins in our baptism. Of course, it's not easy to live into truth. I'm taking a 160-page book and summarizing it in about 8 minutes for you, right? There's a lot of depth and complexity to this. It's not easy to live in truth. It's not always clear even how to do it. That's why we all have room to grow into it. Growth means trying and failing and getting up and trying again. But the good news is that Jesus promises to walk alongside us today and always. He has promised to sustain us in the wilderness of our lives and to lead us into all truth. And so my prayer for you this day is that you continue to mature in faith, continue to seek the truth, to share it, and to live it. My prayer for you today is summed up nicely by William Sloane Coffin's famous benediction. You've heard me use this before, but it's just so good. May God give you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good. Grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but the truth, and too small for anything but love. Amen.